Good evening. I'm glad that we could be together on this Sunday evening. It's good to have our visitors back with us. We appreciate them so much. Tonight, we are going to talk about that song, On the Way to Zion. And if you'll go ahead and turn Psalm 125, we'll read those few verses here in just a moment. Based on what has been happening over the past few weeks, I guess you would say, it would be a serious understatement to suggest that our nation has been concerned about security. You know, it wasn't too long ago that me and Kenzie, that we went on our one-year anniversary to Florida. We was going to fly, and every time we turn around, they'd give these different color codes in the airport. I really didn't know what they meant. I don't watch the news all the time. You know, they'd tell you if it's a color orange or whatever. And it was just constant. I was thinking, what happens if it turns red? What do we do? But whether we listen to the radio, whether watch the news, read the paper, or get our news online, it seems that security has been the lead story just about every day of the week. Leading up to all the travel that has taken place, especially over the Thanksgiving holiday and, of course, the Christmas holidays that will be coming up, our thoughts have been focused on the new scans, the enhanced pat-downs that are now being done by the TSA. And yet, regardless of the way we may personally feel on this issue, as that's a lot of discussion there, just the fact that it is an issue shows that people all around us are concerned about security of some sort. And will actually go to great lengths in their attempts to feel safe. So this evening, as we think about traveling, as we think about some of the news stories that we might have seen, as we think about our longing for security, I would like for us to consider this psalm, the Psalm of 125. And this was a psalm that in the psalm that we're about to read, Psalm 125, was sung by the ancient Israelites as they traveled to the city of Jerusalem for the various feasts that were held in the ancient times. And as we study, we will discover that it is a psalm that praises God for, just as we've been talking about, security and the safety that He provides. And when we look at the heading on this psalm, and your Bibles there, when we look at the subtitle, we find that it's described as a song of accents. In other words, it was a psalm that people would sing as they traveled up into the mountains on their way to Jerusalem to worship. And as they traveled up, as they actually ascended toward the city of David, they would praise God for His protection. They would praise God for all that He had done in the past and for all that He had promised for the future. And so maybe we can imagine thousands upon thousands of people coming in from all over the area. And as they got closer and closer, they would join together and they would break out in songs of praise to God as the city of Jerusalem finally came into view. And as they traveled those last few miles. And so with these things in mind, let us please look together at the five verses of Psalm 125. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong. Verse 4, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. And of course in verse 5, but as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. As we take the time this evening to focus in on these five verses this evening, I would like for us to consider, first of all, the picture of security that is actually painted for us in these five verses, especially in the opening verses. I would like for us to consider God's promise, and then I would like for us to consider the prayer at the end of this short psalm. But first of all, let's look together there at the picture of security that we have for us. It's painted for us in the first two verses of this psalm, as the author illustrates God's power by describing the strength of Jerusalem. And it's something that we know from the scriptures that God's people put a lot of trust in the strength of Jerusalem. The ability of the city of Jerusalem to withstand an enemy attack. We know that the city was actually in the hills. We know that it was surrounded by more hills. And so to attack the city of Jerusalem, the enemy would literally be fighting uphill. We know that it was rather difficult even for King David to capture the city of Jerusalem for the very first time. Let's just say there's a reason why we refer to Jerusalem as the city of David. And there's a story actually in 2 Samuel chapter 5 where it's recorded for us where King David is described as being a warrior. And so he needed a fortress. He was one that needed a stronghold. He needed a city that could actually be defended. By the way, David ruled somewhere around 1000 BC, which means that the Israelites had been living in the land of Canaan for more than 40 or 400 years before they ever managed to capture Jerusalem. And even in David's time, the city of Jerusalem belonged to the Jebusites. They were holed up there, and they actually refused to come out. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 6, in fact, King David went there himself, where it says, "Now the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. And they said to David, 'You shall not come in here, but the blind and lame will turn you away,' thinking David cannot enter here." It's a very interesting verse there. It's very interesting what they said to David. And so the Jebusites were so confident, once again, of their position, of their security that they had in Jerusalem, they challenged King David. "Go ahead. Try to take this city." They even pointed out that even the blind and the lame would turn them away. Even the poorest of soldiers could fight them off. Nevertheless, the Bible tells us in the very next verse that David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. David's soldiers took the city only by going up from underneath it through a water tunnel. But there's a lot more reason as to why they took that city as they did, as we talked about this morning. If God was with them, if it was for God's purpose, then they would prevail. But the point is, Jerusalem was a strong city in a strategic position, no doubt about it. And so when these pilgrims would come in from all over Israel for the yearly celebrations even, no matter how bad their year had been, they could always count on Jerusalem being there. Jerusalem was always a place of safety, security. But as we look back at Psalm 125, we discover that the picture of God's security is not given to just anyone who lives in the city of Jerusalem. But in the opening words, we find that the whole psalm is written about, notice there, those who do what? Trust in the Lord. A lot of times the Jewish people thought they were good to go just because of their family heritage, inherited faith, or just because of where they lived. But we have the reminder here, once again, at the beginning of this psalm that applies specifically to those who trust in the Lord. And so for those who trust in the Lord, the writer of the psalm says that they can be compared to Mount Zion and to the mountains that surround Jerusalem. In other words, the author is actually painting a picture of strength and security. And the Lord, we are safer than the Israelites were in Jerusalem. And so the lesson is, God can be trusted. And as we go back to the psalm itself, we find as the psalm progresses in verse 3 that the author continues with this, a promise. It says, "For the scepter of the wicked of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong." A scepter. We know that a scepter is the actual symbol of a king's rule. The king's staff, basically, as his symbol of authority. And so the scepter of wickedness refers to the rule of a wicked king. We do not know exactly when this psalm was written, so we don't know exactly who the author is actually referring to. But when we look back over the kings of Israel, we know that we have many choices. I mean, even the best kings were far from perfect. Saul and David and Solomon, they all had problems, didn't they? But the author says that the rule of wickedness will not last forever. And that is something that I believe is important, that's stated there. Because if an evil ruler rules long enough, even the righteous tend to be affected. That goes back to influence, I think. You know, we always say that we're not going to be influenced. We're not going to be influenced. But the more we're exposed to it, the longer we're exposed to it, what happens? It affects us. I'll use this example from the Dickerson life. I always like to bring our own stories up. It's so interesting. Kenzie loves it too. I'll hear about it after services, I'm sure. But there's this one light switch on the outside of the master bathroom that I absolutely hate. I really don't like it. Because I go in there and I turn, and I don't know why that bathroom's got three lights. I'm not exactly sure how that was designed, but when I walk in, I always walk in, I have the bedroom light to shine in, and I'll flip that switch on the inside, and it's above the mirror, so I can see myself better, so I can fix my hair and all this other, you know. Kenzie, when she goes, she and flips that switch on the outside of the bathroom, which only sheds a little bit of light. She'll still turn that light on, even if I have that light already on in the bathroom. You talk about a lot of light then. Well, I tell her, I just don't like that. And I've been promising I'm going to disconnect that thing because I'm tired of that switch coming on every time. Well, I caught myself doing something the other day. The whole time I have been there, since 2003, I have never used that light. I have been influenced by her so much that I have been flipping that switch. And this is the first time I'm actually admitting it to her in front of everybody. Because I have gotten on to her so much about using that light. I just don't like that light. And she always forgets to turn it off, too, when she leaves the bathroom many times. So, I have actually been exposed so much that I actually are doing the same exact thing as she was. Going back to this, we can be affected with enough time, and it's only been over a year now, and pressure, even the righteous, we think, can give in. And so the psalmist makes a promise that the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous. It won't happen. It will not be there forever. But he gives us some good news, that God is a king whose kingdom will endure. Will endure. The Lord is a good king whose scepter is righteous, whose kingdom is pure and right and just. Of course, in the New Testament, we have a similar promise. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul is mentioned there talking to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Notice it there. It's a very familiar verse to us all, of course. Paul made the statement there, "No temptation hath overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful." Notice the description yet again. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to do what? Bear it, he says. That we'll be able to bear it. And so the psalm does not say that there will not be a wicked scepter. See, that's what everybody, you know, well, why doesn't he just get rid of it? Why does it just not even exist? The psalm does not say that the wicked scepter will never affect God's people. Because we have countless accounts in the Bible where it did affect the people. There was times in which they were doing what was right in their own eyes. But the psalm promises that the wicked scepter will be temporary. It will not last forever. And as Paul said, that it can be endured by those who are faithful and by those who are willing to take the way of escape. And so we learn that the Lord is described constantly, consistently as strong, and that he will not allow wickedness to rule forever, but he will keep us, preserve us through it. That goes back to this morning's lesson, if we want it. If my focus and if my perspective is where it needs to be, we used that verse this morning, Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking, it's constant in itself. Well, with that we come to verses 4 and 5. And you notice there again in Psalm 125 verses 4 and 5, it says, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and those who are upright in their hearts. For as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the works of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. The psalm closes with a song of prayer. Prayer. He moves from speaking about God to speaking to God. And this is something that we need to do. And we need to do it often. When we think about God, when we're reading the scriptures, we can end our reading with a prayer. A prayer praising God for what we have learned. And a prayer where we ask God to be with us as we put what we have learned into practice. I think that holds very importance. And we see that throughout the scriptures. And as we look at the author's prayer in verses 4 and 5, we find that he takes these two basic ways of living and he places them actually side by side. And in the first place, he says, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. The word upright comes from a Hebrew word meaning to be smooth, straight, or right. In the ancient world, the word was used in road building, actually, as engineers would design a road to be straight, something those who made Highway 87 could learn something from. They would remove obstacles. They would raise up those low places. They would build bridges. They would lower the high spots. And they would make those roads just as smooth and as level as they possibly could. That is what the psalmist is talking about here in Psalm 125 and verses 4. He says that God's people are to be upright in their hearts. But then on the other side, he brings out, there are those who turn aside their crooked ways. And the author says that the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Now let's think back again to why this song was written. The song was originally used as God's people made those trips back to Jerusalem. Okay, they traveled. And as they struggled on those narrow mountain trails, verse 5 would have had a true solid application to it. They were on the path to Jerusalem, and to turn aside on a wrong path would have caused them not to make it. And so the author is saying, if people make the decision to turn off of the path, then God will let them go. In fact, God will even lead them away in that direction. Not that God wants them to leave, but if they choose to go off and do their own thing, God will not stand in their way. We hear those words many times, free moral agency of man. Did God force anyone in the Old Testament to do exactly... Did he force Noah to build that ark? No. He had a choice. You see that word throughout the Bible about choices and about decisions. I think about Naaman. Did he have to go dip 7 times in the Jordan? No. Was he forced to? No. But if he wanted to be clean, he'd do it. There are many that come to mind. And Joshua himself stood there on Joshua 24 and he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. There's that choice again. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, he knew this. One author described this, in fact, as an act of God's divine kindness to his church. In other words, if someone is determined to leave, if they refuse to repent, if they refuse to turn back, then like God, we many times, as Jesus said, dust your feet. We continue to pray. We continue to try in some sort, some kind of communication. But can we force it? No. At the end of the psalm, therefore, we actually have this prayer. A prayer that God will bless those who do good, and that God will allow those who insist on turning aside to turn aside, as sad as that is. And with that, we are presented with a choice between doing good and turning aside. Those who trust in the Lord will keep on keeping on. As the psalmist says, our trust is in the Lord. Our God has promised to be with us through the struggle. As we bring our thoughts to a close this evening, hopefully most of us have been able to relate this song that God's people sang together on their way to Jerusalem. And as we bring our thoughts on this song to an end, hopefully we can see some parallels between what they were doing and what we are doing. Consider this. They did not live in the city, but they traveled to it. And as we describe that journey and their longing for security, just like we do these days, I said, how many? I don't know if I've Chevy commercials when I was growing up used to be security in an insecure world. That's why I have a Chevy. Security in an insecure world. These people, as they traveled, they lived outside the city and they were vulnerable. They were not comfortable until they actually got there. Once again, Jerusalem was a stronghold. And so we can understand why they were singing this song. And yet, they love singing together about that great city. They love singing together about their trust in God. And as they sang, they were on their way to a great celebration. The way was dark, narrow, dangerous, but they were heading in the right direction. They were heading home. In a similar way, we have been singing songs about trust in God. You think about "The Lord is my strength" that we sang, that Nathan, first song he led off this evening service with. The Lord is my strength. He is my security. The way is not easy, but we are making progress. Jesus never promised, as I've stated before, that it was all going to be perfect and easy once we became Christians. It's like that rose. How beautiful the roses are. But what do they come with? The thorns. One thing we have not discussed yet this evening is actually how the psalm ends. The psalm ends in verse 5 with this: peace be upon Israel. Peace is a concept that continues over from the Old Testament actually into the New. For example, we have Paul's statement, Philippians 4 and verse 7, that the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, he says, will guard or keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's very important in the words that he says. As he stated, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. The peace of God, after he discusses about prayer in verse 6, this peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Now notice where it's at. In Christ Jesus. We go back to our focus and our perspective, don't we? And so this evening then, as we think about peace and security, we think about, well, what's on the news? Body scans, pat-downs. We think about our jobs. We think about our families. We think about our bank accounts. We think about the car with the 25 airbags. You know? We realize that our only real security, our only real peace, comes from God. This is a peace that all people can have, but is a peace that is based on our trust in God. And this is the song we sing on the way to heaven. Have we put our trust in God? That's the question. Have we put our trust in God? I hope that we have. I hope that we have reminded ourselves once again that once we have put on that body of Christ in the watery grave of baptism, that we have put off the old man with his deeds, that we have arose to walk in newness of life. And that truly we have security in an insecure world. That as pilgrims and sojourners in this land, that we might be able to say with the psalmist that the Lord is the strength of his people. And that's something we will never forget. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who uprighten their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the works of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Do we need this peace? Have we lost our security? My friends, I hope that we have not. But if we need to assist in some way, won't you come as we stand?